Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew 22, 1 through 14, from the New International Version. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Bless the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Your word, O God, is a feast all its own. Let your Holy Spirit open our minds to your call to listen, for we know your holy word heals and reconciles your people. Amen. So I recently came across a quote by the Lutheran pastor and theologian Nadia Boles Weber. And she said, "Our drug of choice right now is knowing who we're better than." And I had to sort of step back and think about that for a minute, because I felt pretty convicted by that. I like to think that I don't rush to judgment of others because of their life circumstances, or that I think about people from different cultures or with different political ideologies or religious experiences. I don't like to think that I think about them differently or that they deserve anything less than I do. But if I really think about it, if I'm truly honest with myself, there are plenty of times when I found myself thinking about how I'm better than someone else. People that I have learned exactly one thing about and immediately rush to judge everything else about them and their worthiness. And that's when I'm sent like just careening down a path of entitlement. I have a right to everything that I have. I deserve my privilege. Because I'm not only a better Christian, but I'm a better person than those people. I have a really hard time believing that I'm the only one here who's ever had these thoughts. Maybe it didn't come out. And maybe even in your head it didn't have those same exact words, but our attitudes and our actions really do betray us. And it's really easy for me to take my everyday privilege for granted. No one follows me around a store or accuses me of shoplifting. I've been very fortunate to receive an extensive, really no one should have this much education, and I can afford to see a doctor for regular checkups and when I'm not feeling well. The conditions of sidewalks or steps have never prevented me from entering a store or accessing services. I can afford a home in a neighborhood where I feel safe. But the biggest privilege that I have, the thing that I am constantly taking for granted, is my salvation. And I'm a little embarrassed to say that I don't really think about it specifically very often. And as a pastor, that's saying something. Like many of you here, and I know not everyone, but most of you, I was raised in the church. I grew up loving Jesus and learning about how he saved me. And because of that, at times, I can feel entitled to salvation. And that's what today's gospel lesson is trying to warn us about. This passage is the third in a triad of judgment parables. And in each of these parables, the most unlikely and unexpected characters are shown favor, while the ones who were assumed to be in the clear are judged harshly. It seems like there's a theme of some sort in the Bible about that. Jesus was well aware that the religious elites, the Pharisees, the priests, were among the people who were listening. He was talking to a big crowd, and he knew that they were listening. And just before he's talking to this crowd of people right here, just before this, Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem on a donkey, greeted with Hosanna. So this is right after Palm Sunday. And the tension between Jesus and the Pharisees was already, it was just reaching a boiling point. And these string of parables really didn't help a whole lot. In this parable, Jesus begins by saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding banquet. A wedding banquet for the king's son. I don't know if you've ever gone to like a really extravagant wedding, but think of the most extravagant wedding that you've ever been to, where you were like, I don't know who's paying for this. But think about that wedding and then multiply it by 10. And this is like during a time in history when the wedding was the most significant social event in any community. And like just regular families would put together, take everything that they had and put together a feast that lasted for several days. But imagine a king with an unlimited supply of cash. The people who were listening, mostly poor and hungry people, were picturing what it would be like to have a place, have a seat at a party like this. And now the custom at the time was that, so you'd get an invitation to the wedding, and that would be sent like well in advance, kind of like today's save the date, but you had to RSVP then, and like today with the save the date, you don't RSVP right away. So everyone who RSVP'd yes to the event would get a courtesy reminder on the day of the wedding. So the wedding comes, and the servants went out to everybody who said that they were coming. And the people that the servants went to said, nah, I don't think I'm going to go. They're not even polite about it. I mean, they did beat and kill the messengers who called them. It was the wedding of the century. What was supposed to be a celebration, a time of great joy, turns into this time of violence and death. So the king widens the invitation, and he sends another group of servants to the streets to welcome the unwelcomeable. The king goes to great lengths and looks in the unlikeliest places to extend an invitation to the wedding feast. So now the wedding hall is full of guests, the good and the bad. This transition from an exclusive party to one where everyone who can be seen is invited, that's consistent with the ever-widening circle of inclusion of the gospel. Salvation is for everyone. It's for the elite and the powerful. It's also for the outcasts and the strangers. But then the king notices that there's someone who's not wearing the wedding clothes. And he asks, "How did you get in here?" There's some controversy about this. Like, of course, the man didn't know he was coming to a wedding. Why would he have wedding clothes? But everybody else there had wedding clothes on. And there's some speculation that during this time that the wedding clothes would be provided. And I'm not sure if that's true or not, but there's this one guy who's not wearing the wedding clothes. And this sort of seems to go back to like very early Christianity, where a new convert was donning a new set of clothes, and that like it was a way to say that they were giving up their old way of life and they're putting on their new Christian identity by living differently. The man without the wedding clothes doesn't seem to be expressing the deeds of an authentic Christian life. And when questioned, he says nothing. He sort of looks dumbfounded. He has no excuse. Accepting the invitation to the feast is a great start, but it's not quite enough. The standard for newcomers is the same as it was for those who were originally invited. Though many have been called, the ones who are chosen are living in a new way. So basically, those of us who have found ourselves unexpectedly invited have more to do than just sit and bask in Christ's grace. We can't accept all of the blessings from God while we're avoiding difficult work of outreach, of justice. We can't speak about peace on earth without doing our share of ministry. And in this parable, Jesus is teaching us something about being too comfortable in our standing with the king. We feel entitled to salvation due to our status as followers of Christ. We forget that really none of us deserves to be at this party. Jesus tells us that in the kingdom of heaven, the most unlikely guests are present. Brené Brown says, "What separates privilege from entitlement is gratitude." Whenever we allow ourselves to believe that we deserve what we have, or that we're somehow more worthy than someone else, we're going to find ourselves incapable of gratitude. But when we recognize that the privilege that we have in the salvation that's been offered by Christ, we respond with gratitude. We find ways to benefit others. We treat others with respect and care. We're thankful. We don't take our salvation for granted, but we respond with gratitude by living with love and giving with abandon. The proper response to the king's invitation is to run breathless to the banquet, dressed for marriage of heaven and earth, wondering how we ever got put on such an extravagant guest list. Thanks be to God. Amen.